Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. It is a Wednesday morning. A little chilly when I headed out this morning in the 40s, but I think we're going to get a nice recovery today. How about that? Congratulations, Blues fans, because your team's going to the playoffs. Carl Middleman's finger is tired this morning from pushing the horn so often last night.
And then I had to blow it six times at the end of the game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
For each goal?
Each goal.
Nice. And the crowd went crazy.
They did.
I'm sure they did. And here alongside Carl and Kim St. Ange this morning, Sue Thomas with your traffic coming up here in just a couple minutes. By the way, if you missed anything, you can always go back and listen to the podcast where we, of course, put every segment up there. And you might find out a little bit more coming up here on Kim on a Whim. We talked about this a little earlier about a very unique contest that's going on. And this is going to be in L.A., right, Kim?
Yeah, you know, if you didn't get an opportunity to maybe bet on the Kentucky Derby, there's another opportunity where you can bet on what they're hoping will be a major sporting event.
It's unbelievable. The comments online were better probably than the ones on air because I had to be very guarded on what I said about this this contest and the people involved in it.
Yeah, I won't even repeat some of the comments.
They assumed to be people involved in it.
They were funny.
The future people involved in it. Anyway, we'll get to more on that. You can hit the rewind button if you want to listen to Kim on a Whim from this morning at about 5:35. And are we going to talk about that again at 7:47?
We can.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, people had lots of interesting things to talk about on that online. You can get to that. Coming up, we're going to talk to Genevieve Wood. You know, Mississippi has got their test scores out again. Missouri, we try to get these things up for you, and it is, you know, when it comes to education and test scores, you always want to see how you're doing compared to other states. And fourth and eighth grade specifically, and Mississippi was a poverty punchline, but guess what they've managed to do? They've managed to come up with some of the best school test scores in the country. And we're going to talk about why that is with our friend Genevieve Wood here in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned for that. All coming up. But first, I want to get to our top stories. Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And the idea that we are sending, that the United States of America is sending innocent people just so that Donald Trump can make this point.
Anna Navarro, a former Republican, trying to defend the deportation of criminal gang members back to their home country. And it gets even worse. Listen.
But I've also made clear, if we can't meet here, I do intend to go to El Salvador to discuss the release of this individual who is illegally detained.
So just for the photo op, Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen got on a plane this morning in Washington and is flying to El Salvador. And my guess is he doesn't have an appointment with the president, but he's going to get a lot of mainstream media coverage and grandstand.
Every single week, we have a litigation working group where a large group of us, and I'm talking, there's maybe 75 members of the House, sit down every single week with the AGs to talk about legal strategy.
Yeah, how about that? So did she just let the cat out of the bag? That is a Congresswoman, Laura Friedman, talking about the continued lawfare that the Democrats have practiced against Donald Trump for the past 8 years, continues today, every week.
And I remember seeing the kids going by at the time called colored kids on a bus going by. They never turned right to go to Claymont High School. I wondered why. Asked my mom. Why?
Could somebody take Joey back to the beach? Is that possible? I think Democrats everywhere are hoping that Joey goes back to the beach because they trotted him out yesterday. It was a really strange kind of outing for him, talking about Social Security. Nobody had seen from Joe Biden in a while, or heard from him, I should say. And then suddenly he pops up because Democrats have been trying to avoid him. And suddenly he's back today. He went up to Chicago and he gave a speech where he claimed that Republicans are going to cut Social Security. That's what he's leaning into, with zero evidence that any of that is about to happen. And, you know, he's been out of office for, a little less than 100 days. This is what else he had to say. He got a little angry last night, typical Joe Biden fashion, talking about dignity. Go to cut two, please.
It's about dignity. Simple dignity. Everyone. Deserves to be treated with dignity, regardless of their standing, regardless of their economic situation, regardless of who they are. Making sure that more than 60 million Americans who are living with disabilities are treated with dignity is who we are as Americans. That's what it's about.
Yeah, is that what it's about, Joe? I'm not sure Joe knows what it's about, but he did show up last night. He gave this speech, and he couldn't do it without, oddly, talking about his successor. How about cut three, Carl, please?
100 days, this new administration has done so much damage and so much destruction. It's kind of breathtaking it could happen that soon. They've taken a hatchet to the Social Security Administration, pushing an additional 7,000 employees, 7,000, out the door in that time, including the most seasoned career officials. Now they're getting ready to push thousands more out the door. Already we can see the effects.
Yeah, we can see the effects, all right. So imagine if you are Joe Biden and you're watching Donald Trump take a hatchet to everything you did wrong the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. I imagine he's been flabbergasted. I bet he slept through most of it. What do you think?
I wonder how often he sleeps now. Or have we seen any pictures of him on the beach in Delaware?
Nothing.
Maybe he's in hiding.
I did see a picture of him on the beach, and I think it was in Delaware.
Why are they even bringing him out on stage? I get that he's a past president, the most recent president, but man, his approval ratings were in the toilet at the end of his term.
The Democrats don't. I can't say the Democrats as if it's one person. The party, many people in the party don't want him out because they blame him for Donald Trump being president again.
Right.
In that he didn't drop out soon enough. And that's not the point of view, obviously, of the Bidens. And they've been offering to get him out. This was not an official Democrat event that he was speaking at. So he's still not really been embraced by his party. They'd like him to just kind of drift off into the sunset.
If anything, have Obama. That guy is beloved by the party, right?
Yeah, for whatever reason. for what he still is, for whatever reason, even though we see all the... Even part of what Trump's doing now is reversing some of this craziness by the Obama administration. Yesterday, the president rolled back some of these restrictions that Biden and before him Obama had put on coal-burning power plants. And thank goodness, like it involved the Labadie and the Sioux coal-burning power plants here in the St. Louis area. Eased some of the ridiculous restrictions they were trying to force on those plants over the next 2 years. If one of those shuts down, we're gonna have a power crisis in the St. Louis area. And that's the direction they were heading. They were almost trying to force these plants out of existence because they don't like the fact that they are coal-burning power plants. 70 or 80% of our energy in St. Louis, all those EVs you see driving down the street, Teslas and otherwise, are powered by coal, just so you know. Just for the record. So he's doing lots of good things, and I'm sure the Democrats are mad about it every single day. All right, let's get to a break. I do want to get Genevieve Wood in here from Heritage when we get back. We'll talk about what happened with Harvard and that huge endowment and why they don't just depend on that instead of taxpayer dollars. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Schools are not entitled to U.S. taxpayer dollars if they're not living up to the standards and not protecting civil rights of Jewish students on campuses.
That's probably.
And let's take a step back to what has led to this earthquake within higher education. After October 7th, we saw a skyrocketing of anti-Semitism on college campuses, particularly our known most elite college campuses, whether it was Harvard or Columbia. You saw physical assaults against Jewish students. You saw takeover of classroom. You saw riots of property at school.
Stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood from Heritage joining us this morning, and that was at least Stefanik if you hadn't heard her comments on this Harvard situation, Genevieve. It's unbelievable the hypocrisy we're seeing here.
Oh, they're so, it's just unbelievable. I was looking again at their endowment. You know, Harvard has a $53 billion endowment.
Yes.
$53 billion. And now they're saying, oh, we need more money from the federal government. I mean, they shouldn't be getting money anyway. We have so many things that we probably need to be paying attention to, cuts in the federal budget so we can get our bank account back on track, or maybe there's people that actually really need help. I don't think Harvard is in either of those categories, and yet they want to take extra money and then go out and basically not defend their Jewish students on campus. It's an outrage.
Somebody needs to explain the whole endowment thing to me. And I know somebody dies, they leave money to a university. Oftentimes it's for a specific cause, for example. I question, because I know Washington University here in St. Louis has a huge endowment too, maybe not the size of Harvard's. Why does anybody have to pay to go to school there? If they have a $53 billion endowment, they could cover all the tuition and salaries with interest alone, it strikes me.
No, you're absolutely. Endowments are around, supposedly, I think what they were originally created for a rainy day. Like, let's say that, you know, all of a sudden there was a real jump in the financial market and the school didn't have enough money to pay bills or they had a really low year of tuition. That hasn't been the case for Harvard and many of these other schools ever for years. No healthy organization just piles up money. Like, what are they using it for? Why is, if we have all these kids who need educations, why aren't they giving them scholarships to come to Harvard? Yeah. But I mean, look, Mark, the whole thing is, it's so politicized. I mean, they have all this, they're a private school, first of all, private. So they don't have a right to government money in the first place. And any government money they do get, any grants they get, like anybody else, there's probably going to be some strings attached if people give you money, just like when donors give you money. Mm-hmm. Plenty of donors say, here's $1 million or whatever it is, but I want it to go towards the football team or mm-hmm. I want it to go towards the education department. Why does the federal government have the same right?
Do you know if Trump can pull Harvard's tax-exempt status? Because that's the latest thing he's threatened to do.
Look, if they're violating, he absolutely can. And the question, they'll say, we're not violating it. But I think there's all sorts of ways you can say, yes, they are. You're not protecting people on your campus. You're literally allowing people to come on campus, threaten their lives. I mean, you all have seen these protests. This is not about free speech. This is intimidation. And many of these things have gotten out of hand to the point, I think it's very likely that if you took this before a fair judge, not an Obama judge, yeah. a fair judge, you'd have a really good debate about whether or not their tax-exempt status is correct.
And back to your point there, and the one Elise Stefanik made, is the violence, that the intimidation, Jewish students being afraid to go to class. If you do the flip test on this, and those were LGBTQ students or black students or Asian students, they would have shut that down on day one. And they let this continue as if it was normal activity.
All the Democrats we see out protesting USAID being shut, they would be up at Harvard protesting, right? Yeah. But they're not, because this is not the group that they care about. It's just like how you have the Van Hollen or whatever, the congressman from Maryland, saying he's going to go down to El Salvador and get back the gang member that he quotes was kidnapped and sent back to his own country. Meantime, he can't even stand for Laken Riley's mother when she was when President Trump addressed the Congress and mentioned her and their mom was there. He couldn't even stand for her. I mean, these people are totally backwards in what their priorities are. And it's not the American people, not the or the Jewish American people on college campuses. They've got their priorities completely backwards.
We only have about a minute and a half, but I wanted to ask you about this thing you posted related to Mississippi and test scores, because they're bad here in Missouri. And they did something different called the Mississippi Miracle back in 2012, where they adjusted things and they were harder on these students. I mean, what did they do that really changed things for them and got these test scores up?
Well, I think they focused on what's important, the whole reading, writing, and math, and got rid of a lot of the other nonsense that they usually put into schools. And they focused on, I think, making schools actually have to perform, mm-hmm. not just giving money out to anybody in every school. Mississippi has a good school choice program.
Yeah.
That's played an impact and a role there. And you see, I mean, Mississippi used to be at the bottom of almost every measurement on education among the states. And they've made a huge jump, at least. And that's what shows you what you do matters. And to take that even back to like Harvard and the like, you know, they've been lowering their entrance exams for people coming into their law schools because they want to have a certain type of person at law schools. And guess what? Harvard's now dropped out the top five law schools in the country in terms of graduation rates.
Yeah.
It matters how you, it matters what your standards are.
Well, they were holding back. They held back about 10% of the third graders because they failed the reading test. So if you don't make the standard, you're getting held back.
They need to do more
of that. And that's when you do it. Because if you wait until they're in eighth grade or until they're in high school, it's too late. Right. You've got to do it early. And that doesn't mean these kids are dumb. It just may mean they need extra help. And the school's recognizing that and saying, we're going to come alongside you and give it to you.
Yeah, Missouri was eighth from the bottom, in case you were wondering. for sure. Genevieve, thank you as always.
Thank you.
You bet. Heritage.org, DailySignal.com. We're going to be back right after this.
Governor Gavin Newsom says the state short on funds for its Medicaid program known as Medi-Cal. The state expanded the program to cover undocumented immigrants. Governor asked lawmakers to approve another $2.8 billion in loans on top of a $3.4 billion loan issued last week. Meantime, Republicans blaming Democrats for creating financial insecurity with the Medi-Cal program. They say undocumented people should not be covered.
Yeah, of course they shouldn't. This is a news report out of California. Why do I care about California? Because that guy, Gavin Newsom, wants to be the next president of the United States. I mean, he's doing everything a person would do to raise their national profile with his podcast and, you know, taking middle-of-the-road positions on a few things, as radical as he's been in the state of California. They're broke because he was giving free medical care, paid for by the taxpayers of California, to illegal non-citizens in California. And now he's had to go back to the legislature out there and beg for more money. What do you think he would do if he was in charge of the federal government? I mean, come on, people. This is a case study in who not to hire. Listen to this guy.
The realities are the realities. You have to balance budgets. We balance our budget. Revenue is holding up. I don't see anything significant along the lines of what some have asserted. But I do see the need to make adjustments and changes broadly in the Medicaid system.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We just keep raising taxes on people to pay for the extravagant spending that we've got in the state of California. How about that train line out there? That train that's supposed to travel between San Francisco and Southern California.
Oh,
it's billions and billions of dollars in the red.
I mean, it seems as though he was teeing himself up to run for president with the podcast, trying to come off more moderate, talking to Charlie Kirk of all people, which was very weird. I don't think he fits the bill, though, for what the Democrats want. They are very keen on identity politics. So I think someone like a Gretchen Whitmer, I know that name's been tossed out there as a potential candidate, the governor of Michigan. She's been more vocal. Remember, she was the one hiding behind those folders the other day and took some heat for that.
Did you hear what she said about it?
I don't remember.
When they
asked
her why she was hiding her face when she was in the Oval Office. Listen.
How was Washington?
What was going through your mind at that moment? And it was, I don't want my picture taken. That's all it was. I kind of wish I hadn't put my folder up in front of my face, but whatever. You know, I was there. I mean, I just wrote a book about learning to laugh at yourself. So I'm pretty good at it. And we all make, you know, we all have our moments.
She almost said we all make mistakes. Was your mistake going to the Oval Office?
You know, when you go to the Oval Office, you should probably expect to have your picture taken.
With the press pool there in the Oval Office, and there's that picture of her holding up the folder to hide her face because she was such a vocal critic of Trump, continues to be, and such a big supporter of Kamala Harris and all of that. And it must have crushed her that her state went Trump in that last election. Mm-hmm. But she needs things from the federal government, so she's up there lobbying, as she should.
And getting her name out there for maybe a run.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, because those will be that'll be the dividing line in the Democratic Party. You'll have AOC, I believe, will try to run. Bernie Sanders will try to run again.
You think Bernie's going to run again?
Sure. Well, you don't?
How old is he now?
Doesn't matter.
No, people are tired. People are tired of these candidates who are older. That was a concern with Biden, clearly, but also Donald Trump. I'm Googling his age, so I'm sure someone knows.
Pritzker,
listening right now.
Pritzker's going to run. He'll be far to the right, but he will moderate himself a little bit between now and then.
Bernie's 83 years old, Mark. He'll be 84 this year. There's absolutely no way that Bernie Sanders is going to run. He'll be like some sort of advisor. I know you said Jasmine Crockett you don't think is running. You think she's going after a Senate seat. AOC, maybe. I think Gretchen Whitmer will. I think Gavin Newsom could, but I don't think that he will be. He wouldn't win a primary.
The problem is that he's a chameleon. I've said this before.
Yeah.
He will morph into whatever he needs to be. If he needs to be a little more liberal and progressive in the primary, he will. And he's the scariest one to me of the ones that might run. Right now, the ones I see, I don't think Pritzker can get elected. I don't think anybody, I don't think America's that dumb. I'm sorry to my Illinois friends. The liberals in Illinois are that dumb, but I don't think Americans are that dumb. I don't think they would be sucked in by J.B. Pritzker, who they joke about and they constantly hate the oligarchy, and they're going to elect that guy. Who ripped all the toilets out of his house so he didn't have to pay as much taxes on it?
The Democrats won't stop until they can get the first woman elected as president. That's, I think, something they really want to achieve. And that's why I'm starting to feel more like a Gretchen Whitmer would be the one to run.
I don't know if she's liberal enough for them.
Well, but see, here's the thing. I think Kamala Harris, that worked against them. I mean, not only was she really not able to put together full sentences and come up with her own thoughts and ideas, but at the same time, she may have been a little too far left. I saw some poll the other day, maybe it was on Fox News, and it talked about how people wish the Democrat Party was a little bit more moderate. You have those far left people, but truly, I believe that a lot more people have more common sense and maybe felt like even Kamala was a little bit too far left to win over enough people to win a presidential election.
Well, I mean, Jasmine Crockett told us last week the only reason Kamala didn't win was racism.
Well, that's true.
People
I forgot about that.
Racist and misogynist, and they didn't want a female, particularly a black female, to be president of the United States.
Well, that's why Cori Bush didn't win. That's why Tashara Jones was not reelected. I get it.
Yeah.
It's definitely the reason.
I just think they've got a weak bench. And if you listen to AOC and you listen to Bernie Sanders, who've been touring the country and, you know, getting moderate sized crowds of crazies who've turned out because they're all angry at Elon Musk and Orange Man Bad. They are still talking about the same issues that defeated them, because I agree with you. It wasn't just Kamala Harris that lost them that election. She was a big part of it. And had they had a different spokesperson in there as their candidate, a different person to discuss their ideas, maybe the election would have been closer. I don't know of that for sure. But what seems to me is that they've turned over control of their party to the most progressive. The vice chair of the Democratic National Committee right now is David Hogg. That tells you all you need to know about where they are politically. He's anti-gun. He's a hard lefty on all of his social positions. They don't get it. They may have some success in the midterms. I'd be a little surprised, but that's not unusual. Mm-hmm. The party in power, the White House, usually loses some seats in the midterms. That usually happens. I hope it doesn't happen. And maybe between now and then things turn around enough that with the tariffs are effective and you've got more investment in the United States, the economy still seems to be strong. Maybe that turns around enough that you avoid that this year. But I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe Gretchen Whitmer evolves. But that was a dumb stunt on her part. At least she admitted it. I just didn't want my picture taken. What did you think was going to happen with the press pool in the Oval Office?
There's never any press at the White House.
No. Even the AP's been allowed back in there. How about that? That's big of them, isn't it? They let them back in, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get back into this, I believe, Kim, this issue we discussed earlier this morning for the people who are just now joining us, because when it comes to athletic competition, you can be good, but not good enough. And this competition is going to be unlike anything any of us have ever seen.
Yeah, these athletes, I don't think you have ever seen compete.
Well, you've never met them. They're not really people yet.
That's true. You're right, Mark.
All right. We'll get into all that and more coming up. Stay tuned.
Kim on a whim.
Hey, Traded. I'm Nick. I'm one of the co-founders for Sperm Racing, and we just raised $1 million to race human sperm. We extract these two sperm samples, we clean them, and then we race them in our microscopic racetrack. The way we do this is we push a current from the finish line to the starting line. The current swims against that to the end, and the first cell that gets there wins. The reason why we raised this $1 million is because we've always wanted to race human sperm, and we're making it real on April 25th in LA. More details on spermracing.com.
Just when you thought things couldn't get any weirder, now people are about to race sperm.
Why? I have lots and lots and lots of questions.
So do I.
This.
This is to raise awareness, they say, about declining male fertility, which apparently is a problem. I would argue it's what we're exposed to, chemicals and the food that people are eating, because women are dealing with this issue too. There's a lot at play here, I think, that's causing it. But anyway, what they're doing is they're going to hold this race. Do I even call it a race?
They're calling it a race.
They're calling it a race. They're going to have commentary, press conferences, play-by-play, instant replays.
You can bet on it?
You can bet on it. They're trying to get 5,000 people. They want at least 1,000, but they're trying to get 5,000 people to go to the Hollywood Palladium in L.A. to watch this race. They're building a... I'm sorry. I'm trying to just say this with a straight face. They're building a custom track.
Oh, my goodness.
It's supposed to resemble a female reproductive system.
Couldn't you just spend $1 million on an ad campaign about declining male fertility instead of doing... clearly, it's getting us to talk about it at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's it. You know, they could do that, but this is so weird that people will be talking about it like we are. People will want to see it because... When else do you see this? I don't have any plans to watch it on April 25th, but
I'll bet you
that people will be betting on this and attending it. I don't know how much, I guess tickets will cost something. They're trying to get money. How much
will
would you
be
willing
people
to
in
pay?
Attendance?
Yeah, they're trying to get 5,000 people inside the Palladium in
Are
LA.
They only fans?
Mark, have you been thinking about that joke for a while?
No, I'm wondering who's going to be there for this.
Well, me too. Who wants to see this happen in person? I mean, really.
When Kim brought this up earlier, some of the comments online were really funny, and thank you for that. Many of them were things I couldn't repeat on the radio because the FCC would come and put me in handcuffs and walk me out of here, or my boss would.
I can't repeat them either.
No, you can't.
You can imagine where they went, though.
You cannot.
It says between 1973 and 2018, the concentration of sperm among men worldwide dropped more than 50%. The dip has been blamed on a variety of factors, including obesity, sedentary lifestyles, smoking, and exposure to certain chemicals and pesticides.
The swimming speed of the human sperm is 5 millimeters per minute. So they describe them as miniature, fun-size Michael Phelps, is how the article describes this, which I'll have to say I've never given a bit of thought to that or why that would be important. The point is, how did they get down to the finals? Like, were there semifinals?
We must have missed the semifinals.
Yeah.
They could have had their own, instead of March Madness, they could have had something in April, dedicated the entire month to it, and you have a bracket. They could have drawn this out a lot more than they are.
They really could have. There will be play-by-play commentary, leaderboards, instant replay, where spectators are encouraged to wage money on the race.
And I guarantee you they will. It's too bad people can't bet yet in Missouri. You just drive over to the state line to Illinois and you can place your bet on the sperm races.
How do you know it's not fixed? How do you know it didn't already happen and they're just replaying it?
Let's just fast forward. Let's go in our time machines to 10 years from today. Is this going to be an event in the Olympics?
Oh, I hope not.
Is this the future? Is this an annual event now because it's already generated a lot of interest? These guys, who, by the way, are already very successful on their own, millionaires, I guess, in some cases, have already raised $1 million to be able to do this.
So one of the organizers here says, while this might seem odd,
no, it isn't, don't say that.
It isn't just a joke, despite being hilarious. Rather, the event was created to shed light on this serious infertility issue or male fertility issue that's happening quietly, steadily, worldwide, and nobody's really talking about it. His goal was to make it a topic no one wants to touch, interesting and measurable.
And they're using advanced imaging to verify the winner. Yeah, who are they getting these samples from? How does that... This whole thing is just so weird. And...
Well, then afterwards, I guess they will take the winner and they will break down their the biological reasons why theirs was superior. And then they'll promote that as a healthy lifestyle. You don't smoke. You don't have exposure to certain chemicals and pesticides.
So you think we're going to see the guy on the air and he'll be touting,
I don't know.
That was mine.
I'm just saying, my guess is they fixed this so that the winner...
How do you fix it, though?
Well, because they got to pick the contestants. My guess is...
Can we call them contestants? Are they athletes? Have they been weight training?
There are just too many jokes here that...
Hey, 10 more push-ups, please.
Yeah, I just can't touch. But I'm just saying they will use the winner as an example of what men should aspire to if they want to avoid fertility problems. It would be my guess, right? If you were doing a competition to gain attention to the fact that obesity was dangerous to your longevity. Then that's the point. That'd be the point of it.
Well, maybe,
that'd be my guess.
Maybe they're secretly picking two men, different men who already lead a lifestyle like that. So no matter who wins, like you said,
they win. No matter who loses, they win. Yep. I guess.
April 25th, mark your calendars. I mean, you know what? Buy tickets. Go to LA and watch this sporting event in person.
Carl's trying to save us here. Let's thank you for playing the music, Carl. That's it.
Time to go.
It's moving right along. As they will, we're going to talk to Joey Chester from the Federation for American Immigration Reform on the success on the southern border. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.